Hello, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm shifting is a really big business these days all over the world as many, many people awaken to new levels of consciousness. And through that, we improve not only the quality of our life, but our ability to choose how we want our lives and how it will go personally and in the collective. So we have a very powerful guest tonight, George Campanelli. And he and his wife have set up Age Nation because he's talking about, he says 50% of the population is going to be over 50 fairly soon. We've got kind of a graying of the fabric of humanity. And in our society, it's sort of offensive to get older, isn't it? We're supposed to all stay young and a bit goofy and terribly sexual and have the right shape breasts and legs and that sort of thing. And what he's talking about, he and his wife, Sadina, who won't be able to meet with us this time, but in any case, what they're talking about is how aging can be evolutionary and revolutionary. It's time for us to rise up and become powerful forces of change on the planet. The planet's really suffering. The planet herself is suffering, and all kinds of human systems all over the world are suffering. And what they're talking about, and they're setting up workshops to help people do this, is tapping our inner selves, tapping our inner resources so that we become elders with a force, with a perspective, with an understanding, with a compassion, and with a futuristic vision, with the ability to become more and more of who we really are. I'm very excited to talk to our wonderful George Campanelli of Age Nation, and his book, his and his wife's book, is called Don't Go Quietly. It's a very, very interesting read. And also talking with these people and listening to them will inspire you. George and Sadina are going to be in Seattle this coming weekend, November the 15th weekend, at the Center for Spiritual Living. I did think of flying up from LA just to join them, but I don't think I'll be able to do it this time. But stay tuned. Eventually, I'll tune into one of their workshops. I know they're really good at helping people get in touch with their true nature. Anyway, here is George Campanelli of Age Nation and of Do Not Go Quietly.
So let's go back to what we were talking about. You were speaking about the olders and the elders in our society, which is a very interesting thing to say. And my question is always, how do we, incite in people the awakening into being an elder?
Well, I think that in all of our hearts, there is an understanding that there are dreams that we came here to live. We may have stopped listening to them a long time ago. They may be so faint, we have to kind of dig and poke around a little bit to discover them. But they're there. They're part of the DNA that we bring into life, the DNA of consciousness. And so what Sadina and I believe, and the work that we do through Aid Nation and through our book Do Not Go Quietly, is that first of all, we need to do some work that gets us back in touch with our feelings. There's an old expression that says, never go faster than feelings can follow. And the reason is that when we're out of touch with our feelings, whether they're at one end, which could be sadness or confusion, and at the other, joy and elation. But when we're out of touch with our feelings, when we're living in our mind, we're subject to a lot of illusion and dissociation. But when we get back in touch with our feelings, and one of the ways of doing that, of course, is to get back in touch with our bodies, with our breath, with an awareness of what's going on. Do we have a pain? Do we have a limitation of some kind? When we breathe in and out, we come back into the present moment awareness. And in present moment awareness, we have an opportunity to actually do things, to move from being rigid, calcified olders to being flexible, empowered elders. Dealing with incompletes in our lives is another great exercise. You know, a lot of us have energy tied up inside of us with things that we've started and not completed, relationships.
Oh, forgivenesses, that sort of thing?
Sure, yeah, relationships that are out of alignment, all kinds our beings are faithful servants. So when we say, I want to do that, I'm going to do this, some part of our energy gets attached to completing that. Some of us are still holding on to, we wanted to be nurses or doctors or pilots or firemen when we were little kids, and some part of us is still waiting to be a fireman or a nurse or a doctor or whatever. We need to go back and identify what's incomplete in our lives and start releasing the things that we're never going to do and re-inheriting that energy. And we need to clean up the gaps, the disagreements, the betrayals, the acts of unkindness that either we have committed or other people have committed against us. So that
we say it kind of like encapsulates your own gifts and keeps them back, right?
Yeah, well, you get back your energy and then you can start to explore some of those fundamental philosophical questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? What do I want to do with this gift of my life? And underneath the hurt, underneath the incompletions, underneath a lot of the baggage that we're carrying are some of these remarkable things that we have wanted to do and that we came here to do. In addition, a lot of us are encumbered by a lot of old and limiting beliefs. And they're not even our own beliefs. They're beliefs that we just accepted hook, line, and sinker from
someone else. You mean like I'm not a success or something like that?
Yeah, well, beliefs like that, and sometimes there are political beliefs or religious beliefs or ethnic beliefs that, you know, have just come with the package of our lives. And oftentimes we've incorporated them and we've never stopped to ask, is that belief true? Does it still apply to me? Does it ennoble my life? Does it make my life more meaningful or easier? Does it allow me to express the gifts that I've come here to develop? Or am I so tied up in boundaries because I can't turn left because turning left isn't allowed by this belief, or I can't sit down, or I can't stand up, or I can't sing, or I can't dance, or I can't whatever the belief says that may not be at all true, and yet we haven't necessarily asked ourselves if this belief is true. Have we examined the beliefs that constitute the foundation of our lives, or are we on automatic?
Or can we be sort of stored with a huge resentment because we believed that we couldn't do something that we realized we should have been able to do, like, oh, I don't know, become a journalist or a world traveler or climb a mountain. We believed it wasn't appropriate or something.
Sure, we believe that, how many stories exist of children who are drawing and someone says, well, what's that? And you say, it's a horse or it's a bird or something. And they laugh and they say, well, that doesn't look like a horse or a bird. Birds aren't purple or green or yellow or whatever. You know, horses don't look like that. And so the message that gets communicated is that we can't draw, that we're not artistic, or that we can't sing, or we can't dance, or we can't...
And there's no point even trying.
Right. So I might as well just become an ordinary slump like everybody else around me and get in the great line of the army of the employed, and I make my $1.26 an hour, and I buy into the American dream that tells me that you know, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to retire, and someday when I retire, I'm going to get to do all the things I've ever wanted to do. Well, of course, as we've learned, that dream doesn't exist anymore. One out of 9 or 10 people, only one out of 9 or 10 people who reach retirement age in America today have enough resources to lead even a modest life of dignity beyond retirement. The American dream has become an illusion. It doesn't exist anymore. And we have to redefine it. We have to get it back, but not get it back in the land of consumption and possession. We have to learn to value things that are truly important. The quality of our character, the depth of our experience, the compassion we have for other beings, the unique creative genius that exists inside of each of us. And the only way we can do that is to stop marching to this old industrial revolution strategy, this old series of standards that talks about performance and productivity. Heck, in America, we don't make very much anymore. So why are we using these old standards? We've farmed it all out. Our corporations have sold us out to foreign workers and foreign production. We've got to say, hey, wait a second. These old beliefs that have no relevance, are they the thing that's going to define our lives going forward, or can we write a whole new third act for humanity?
Oh, I'm up for that, and I've noticed there's so many people that are in the elder years who just don't value all their stuff anymore. They're trying to get rid of it so they can have what it is they truly value, and that compares a lot of that consumer thing now, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, but unfortunately, you know, when you build a life based on a premise, you might reduce what you own, but it's hard to step outside of it, especially when the great consumption machine keeps rolling and you find yourself kind of out of breath trying to keep up. I mean, even if you're just trying to keep up with basics, with food, with shelter, with clothing, with medicine, the cost of living keeps increasing. But unfortunately, for many people, as they age, their ability to generate the income necessary to keep stride with this consumptive society, it makes it very difficult.
It's very scary for a lot of people, George.
And with good cause, because look at the political landscape. Look at the lack of understanding and compassion for people who are aging that exists in Washington and in many state capitals today. Look at what's happening with the egregious actions that are being taken in some places that wipe out an entire lifetime's work in pension funds and whatnot, and leave people gasping for breath with no hesitation, with no understanding. You know, the problem, Veronica, from my standpoint, is that there are people in government today who are half our age, have half our experience, certainly less than half of our compassion, and too often half of our intelligence. And they are people that are making the rules that impact our lives, and we can't allow that to happen. That's another part of not going quietly. We have to get
back. So what I'm hearing is a rallying call that you're doing. I love that.
Yes, it's a rallying call, because otherwise we're simply going to be shuffled to the sidelines into lives where meaning and purpose doesn't exist, where we're not able to use the skills and the wisdom that we have. where we're going to be assigned to medical warehouses and a host of other situations because a relatively small percentage of our population wants more and more of the pie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not satisfied with what they have. They want more. They want to reduce us to simple statistics.
I hear a lot of stories about people in doctors, and they're badly treated in hospitals because it's not worth trying to save them because they're older.
Well, you know, the problem is that the system requires an enormous amount of investment in order for health care and life care to work. It works mm-hmm. so much better in almost every other industrialized country in the world, you know?
Because they're not all running from the taxes that would pay for some of this, right?
Well, that on some level, it's the fact that they're running from the taxes. On other levels, there's just a lack of, that's that seven-generation thing that we were talking about before, you know?
Right.
In most societies that have endured and thrived, the elder has been honored. But in societies
and so it
where...
it should be. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. But in societies where that honoring of the elder ceases, where they become viewed as an economic burden instead of as a treasure, when their lives are discounted because they're no longer part of the great army of the productive, then society loses one of its most valued elements, which is understanding of the cycles of life. And that that people, as they age, their responsibility is not to keep marching, not to keep making, not to keep doing, but their responsibility is to reflect, to be, to squeeze the juice from the fruit of their experience so that they can share that wisdom mm-hmm. with
and
other members of society.
And sometimes inspire the young people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. So we find ourselves in this challenging time, and yet there's such good news at the same time, because there is an awareness that more and more older people have, that there is this dream inside of them, and they still have the time to manifest it. Maybe they're not going to be the greatest opera singer or dancer or entrepreneur or whatever, but there are pieces of that dream that they can still live out, and in living out, they complete what they came here to do. We don't come here to march to someone else's tune. We don't come here to get in line to make other people rich or whatever the heck it, powerful or whatever. We come here to capture and experiment so that we bring back to the collective the wisdom that we've generated and the experience that we have. That's what a noble life is.
And the whole gets greater when we do that, doesn't it? The whole
does
get much wiser.
The whole benefits. But for people who aren't interested in the greater good, for people who just want their piece of the pie or their aggrandizement, who want to acquire and possess more, they don't care about the common good. It's why so many of the people in politics today are talking about, let's cut entitlement programs. These aren't entitlement programs. These are common sense programs. Healthcare and wellness and support and care for all of the members of our society. So that's not entitlement. That's a slick word that's been made up by some political hacks who are somehow or another trying to deny the fact that in a world where 50% of the population will be 50 and over, we've got to realign our priorities. We have to change our values. And they don't want to do that. They just want to go faster than feeling can follow.
That is interesting because they're going to get old too.
Yes, but you see, right now they think they're bulletproof.
Yeah, I know.
Right now they think that if they grab enough of the pie, they'll be able to buy anything they need. And to some degree, there's some truth to that, except...
But they're buying the whole world.
Yeah, and they're not understanding that if we don't take care of this demographic revolution, if we don't invest in it, if we don't learn how to provide quality lives for the 50% of our population that's aging, the economic system is going to collapse, and then their money, their possessions are going to be worthless. You know, I was listening to an interview on one of the public radio shows, and one of the gentlemen was interviewing an industrialist from Germany. And Germany has a very high income tax, you know?
Right.
The
so they have whole areas that are entirely off the grid, towns.
Well, he said, the interviewer said to the gentleman being interviewed, aren't you offended by, as a wealthy man, aren't you offended by having to pay such a large percentage of your income in taxes? And this guy stunned the interviewer and me as a listener. He said, I would rather be a wealthy man in a wealthy country than be a wealthy man in a poor country.
Yay,
and,
good for him.
And yet that, in many ways, is what we are on the road to in America. If we
already are getting very poor, aren't we?
Yes, and we, those of us who are 50 and over, need to wake up. We need to say, now, wait a second. Somebody's selling us a bill of goods here. And before we're completely marginalized and sidelined, we have to use our power. And our power comes in so many ways.
Well, how do we use it, George? I want to know this. I'm up for
it. Well, one of the ways that we use it is by remembering what the power of one. Each one of us have a variety of ways in which we vote and exercise influence. Not only do we do it at the polls when election time comes, but we do it every day in terms of where we place our attention. Do we place our attention on media that tells us the truth or that lies to us, that inflames us and divides us, or promotes understanding and collaboration? So, if we're listening to media, reading newspapers, watching television, listening to radio that is not telling us the truth and is provoking our fears and dividing us, we ought to not buy the paper, we ought to stop listening, turn off the television, and before long, those media barons that are exercising this kind of nonsense will be like beached whales. They'll be gasping for air because it's our attention that allows them to generate advertising dollars that gives them profit. Take away.
Well, you know what,
profit.
George? I just want to say this because I didn't even find out what happened in yesterday's election, but I got very, 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 very angry because to me, all the election campaigning was about who gets to buy the media. It had so little to do with what's going on. And I screamed through a letter and finally said, I'm not sending you any more money or anything because this isn't really an election. It's a grab for media. I don't.
Well, yes, it is. And there's no doubt that Citizens United is one of the most egregious sins
has ever
been visited upon this country because, literally, we put democracy on the block, finally, for complete purchase, you know? But all of these billionaires who are pouring you know, millions and millions of dollars into our campaign. They depend on us to make their money. They make products. They have companies that we use their services. And it's our job to be responsible citizens. If there's a company, and there are many of them today, that are using their money to corrupt democracy and to buy the future, then we should stop buying their products and their services.
But how do we do that? Because I see that Nestle says people do not have a right to have non-purchased water, and they own most of the water.
Yes, they do. But
how do we deal with that?
Well, what we do is we take the time and we find out who and what are all of Nestle's companies, and we stop supporting. We stop buying their products.
Yeah, I think I tried to do that. Yeah.
You know?
I agree. That's big, isn't it?
Because every day we vote with our dollars, where we spend them, so we need to become conscious spenders, conscious consumers. We have to, just because a store is convenient or just because a store is a little closer, if they're not supporting the environment, if they're not supporting people, if they're underpaying their workers, we should stop buying their pretend food, and we should stop buying their products, and we ought to put them out of business. There's no reason that a company should be able to abuse its workers and cause them to have to buy food stamps or get food stamps and get government support because they're not earning a decent wage. It's a sin. It's a crime against humanity, and it should stop. And we can stop it one person at a time. We can stop it by taking. Yeah, well, we can stop it by taking our money out of the too big to fail banks. We can stop investing money in the stock market in companies that are out to destroy the well-being of our world. If companies aren't paying their fair share of taxes, if they're putting money in offshore accounts, if they're abusing workers in other countries, we ought to put them out of business. The way to get America back, the way for people who are older to regain their power, is to vote with their dollars, with their attention, and with their vote.
And one more thing I'd like to throw in, which is through talking to each other, camaraderie, building that kind of community consciousness that helps us feel empowered.
Absolutely. And the best way to feel empowered is to do what we're passionate about. To not simply go through life with our heads down, bored to death, stuck in front of media that divides us and preaches violence and all kinds of things. We got to get back into creating. What was that dream I had when I was 8 or 9 or 4 or 5? I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to paint. I wanted to sing. So start taking singing lessons. It's not because you're going to become the next Caruso or something. It's because that's going to awaken a vibration inside of you. And that vibration is then going to wake you up to other things. It's also going to make you want to be healthier. It's going to make you pay attention to the food that you eat and the thoughts that you have. Because once you remember that there's a reason for being alive, then you want to live more fully. So the 500 billion, let me say that again, $500 billion a year that is spent on unnecessary end-of-life medical procedures that do not ultimately extend life or improve the quality of life for people. $500 billion is spent. The majority of us spend two-thirds or more of all the money we spend during our entire lifetime on medical services in the last year of our lives. And the reason for that is that people are unwilling to recognize that life has a series of chapters and one of them is the final chapter, and that chapter is called death. We can't talk about death. We don't want to hear about it. And the reason is that we're not living vital lives. If we were living vital lives, death is just like a vacation at the end of a long and productive experience, you know? And that's what Do Not Go Quietly is about. That's what living and loving the life you were born to live is about. That's a program that we do. It's a weekend journey. We're doing one in Seattle on November 14th through the 16th at the Center for Spiritual Living. And it gives people the opportunity to remember, to get in touch with, to do what you were saying before, connect with other people who also want to live more inspired lives. And together, we support each other. Together, we encourage each other. The journey allows us to look back at the past and harvest the wisdom and experience, both some of the stumbles as well as some of the breakthroughs, and then to take that gold and invest it in living more fully in the present moment and to charting a more inspired course for the future so that we have a legacy that we're proud to leave for those that we love and the world around us. So living...
And the legacy isn't always money or China or...
No, it's not. It's not. And it's okay. Those are byproducts. They can be byproducts of a life well lived. So there's nothing wrong with having tangible assets to leave to other people. But what good are those assets if we haven't lived a quality life? We don't have a sense of meaning and purpose in our lives. We're not energized and engaged. We're not grateful. We're not. That stuff is meaningless, and it's not me saying it. It's generations of wise individuals, philosophers and mystics and poets and artists who've told us, and religious leaders over and over again. It's the quality of our lives. It's the journey, and it's not the destination that matters. So we have a chance, Victoria, to do, Veronica, to do such extraordinary things. And that's what Age Nation is all about. That's what the work Sabina and I do is all about. And in fact, as part
of... I want to know about Age Nation. I was going to ask you that. What is it?
Well, it's a multifaceted organization that has a world-class website. It has all kinds of great information that people can gather on it. Age Nation has a radio podcast network, and two of Age Nation's shows are in national syndication. Age Nation does these conferences, like the one in Seattle that we're talking about in November. They're done under this Navigating Your Future banner. And
is this
there
a consortium of people like you?
It's the organization was founded by Sabina and I, and we have strategic allies that we work with that help us do various things. But we have a fledgling national digital magazine called Next. We have a consulting division that helps organizations and businesses better prepare for the future and better serve the greater good by being prepared. Eventually,
so like conscious corporations?
Yeah, like conscious corporations or conscious local governments who recognize that they have an obligation to their citizenry and they want to know how to better prepare for it, what they can do about it. We eventually will have a series of learning and living communities that we hope to be able to create called the Age Nation Life Learning Centers and communities. And we want to have television that serves people in this demographic. we've created a thing called the World Council of Wisdom Keepers that includes a lot of the leading authors and experts of our time who participate in some of our live events, are interviewed on our radio programs, and through the work that they do every day in the world, they help make our world more age-friendly, honoring the wisdom of the elders and including it in the decision-making of our time. And next March, in a great collaboration with the Wisdom Graduate School of Studies and Ubiquity University, which is a new undergraduate school, we're launching a worldwide elder studies curriculum to give older people the opportunity to re-engage in learning new skills or fine-tuning current ones, and younger people who want to know more about the future and who want to be engaged in careers relative to life care and health care and wellness, the opportunity to get additional credentials. So those are just some of the things that Age Nation does.
Well, how's the response, George, to you and Sabina? This must be, it must be waves and waves of response coming up, because there's a kind of a pulse going on, isn't there?
Well, there is, and we have morphed through a time where we felt like we were voices crying in the wilderness, you know. I mean, not alone. There are a lot of great people around the country and around the world who are doing some extraordinary work. But most of the major institutions and most of the governments, at least here in the U.S., are still very much asleep at the switch. They're just in deep denial. They don't, I mean, there are some cities in America, we're really blessed to have a consulting assignment with the city of Albuquerque, and the city of Albuquerque is one of the four or five best cities in the country when it comes
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, when it comes to providing programs and services and public facilities for their older citizens. They've been at it since the early 1960s when a couple of forward-thinking doctors said, hey, we better start to get ready for this world that's changing. But there are other cities, and Albuquerque has almost 200, a little over 200 people in their Department of Senior Affairs. Whereas there are other cities in the country that don't even have departments of senior affairs. Cities that are much larger than Albuquerque, cities that have just got their heads so far in the sand when it comes to doing what they need to do to prepare for this demographic revolution.
Well, how's Seattle? Do you know the breakdown? How's L.A.?
I don't know the specific demographics in Seattle. You know, Seattle, the state of Washington and Oregon and several of the states in the far northwest have been pretty progressive in a lot of ways, and they have a number of older people in their population. All of us, I mean, if we started spending money very rapidly on doing things to get ready for this, we might be able to keep up. But a lot of us, a lot of cities and towns and states are way behind, just way behind.
Well, I keep calling it, I have a project in my heart and mind, and I call it the Wisdom Bank for seniors, wanting to gather enough elders, seniors, to really mine them for the wisdom that they have and think about an evolution revolution. I don't mean starting a revolution, but, you know, let's look at the evolutionary quality here.
You know, our belief is that we should all kind of join forces. You know, that's what the World Council of Wisdom Keepers is about, and there are other organizations, and the Kansas is so large that we need to be able to work together. We need to be able to say to each other, none of us can do this alone. The same thing is true. Government can't afford to do it all any longer as well. It's one of the reasons that Asian Nation believes we have to create whole new public-private sector partnerships.
You bet.
Where,
I agree.
Where private industry, government, the non-profit sector, the academic sector, the media sector, they all come together and they say, look, how can we recraft and recreate America? It is time for a complete revisioning. We just can't keep fluctuating between times of boom and bust. We can't go from Republican to Democrat, Democrat to Republican. First of all, they all look alike.
Yeah, that whole money and thing. No, it's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay anymore. Because
no.
They're all so busy. In this last election, as you pointed out, unfortunately, when you have people like the Koch brothers and others who are buying one out of every four political ads in America. One brother.
They're buying the country, George.
They're trying to buy the country. They're doing an outstanding job of it, and they're doing it so that they can sell more stuff that pollutes our air and destroys our environment and ruins our democracy. And we can't sit back and let it happen. We have to do something that's much more noble, because someplace even in those thickened, hardened arteries of consciousness that flow through these people that are so committed to acquisition and to greed, someplace even in their hearts, there's an understanding that they can do better, that they can do different, and that having it all and abusing our world is not what they came here for. They came here for something much greater and more remarkable than that. And if we could just give them a taste of it, many of them would wake up and recognize that there are other possibilities, you know? And that's why Do Not Go Quietly is written. That's why Age Nation does its work. That's why this series of Navigating Your Future conferences will begin with a great partnership with the Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle. Will Sadina and I will do this program November 14th to 16th. We're going to be joined by exclusive pre-recorded video conversations and talks by Ram Dass and
that's wonderful.
Zalman Schachter Shalomi. Unfortunately, Rabbi Zalman, Reb Zalman, as he liked to be called, passed away in August. But he was such an innovator, such a champion for writing a new third act. He issued a rallying cry a long time ago that said we have to wake up. So we have a great deal of love for him. We have a great deal of love for Ram Dass. We're also going to be showing some pieces from a television special called The Wisdom Keepers that Sadina and I were the principal hosts and guests on. And so there's going to be some wisdom from Dean Houston and Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith and Barbara Mark Hubbard and Michael Mead that has never been seen before.
Wonderful. So, Barbara Mark Hubbard is getting up there, and she sure is powerful.
She is powerful, and she will admit that she's just hitting her stride. She's in her 80s, and she's unstoppable. Yeah.
She really
and,
is brilliant.
So, you know, people who want to get involved can come to AgeNation.com and learn. They can go to our book site, Do Not Go Quietly, thebook.com. They can download free excerpts. They can listen to guided imagery processes. And they can buy a great book. It's won 9 national book awards. We're really proud of it.
Do Not Go Quietly, that's won 9 awards?
Yes. Yeah.
Yay!
It's a 2014 Gold Nautilus Award winner, and, you know, the Nautilus Award is a very prestigious award. It's won recognition at the Eric Hoffer Awards and on and on and on. So we're really proud of that.
Interesting, George. I'm really conscious of, you already mentioned kind of the word of Dharma, I think, where people come in touch with their own brilliance and then it goes into the collective. And I think whilst you're talking, the collective really wants to move into or morph this whole process that you and Sabina are activating so well. I think that the whole collective is wanting that. I really feel optimistic about that.
Well, I'm glad, because it's time. We need it. We need this waking up. We need this momentum. And we is those of us who can't slink into the background, who can't, we can't let our lives be diminished. We have to reignite that power. We have to speak and sing the notes that only we can sing. You know, if we don't sing the note that is ours to sing, it's not like the whole symphony collapses, but there's a dead spot in this music of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an obligation. We didn't go through the enormous challenges it took to get physical life. We didn't go through the birth canal and do all the dances we did to learn language and social etiquette and math and science and all the things that we've gone through. We didn't suffer some of the disillusionment and the confusion and the betrayals and the losses to simply go meekly out the door. We have
right.
to do it more boldly. We have to use this talent and gift that we have. That's our job.
I love it. I might be flying up next week and I'll just see how it goes, but I know it's going to be wonderful there in Seattle. And that's just the beginning. You're going to be doing a lot more after that. So we need to get onto your website and find out.
Yes, and so there'll always be announcements. We just finished, actually. There's still time. We finished a global digital summit called the Age Nation Summit with 12 really great, great authors and speakers. And if people go to the Age Nation Summit, they can still... I think for the remainder of this week and through the weekend, they can still listen to some of the talks for free, or if they can't do that, they can sign up to download it. But it's about spreading good information, learning what we need to learn, and doing what we need to do. That's really...
And pass it on and keep passing it on, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm very excited about the work you and Sabina are doing, and I hope to be meeting you. I'll certainly be on Age Nation if I don't make it up to Seattle.
Well, thank you very, very much for taking some time to talk. I'm sorry Sabina wasn't here with us. She's as impassioned about a number of these pieces of this puzzle. She focuses a lot on wellness, on enlivened aging, on different strategies that help people lead a really quality existence.
She'll come on another time. You can come on together.
Sure.
Come on Friday.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be delighted to. And
this is not a small subject.
No, it's not a small subject at all. So many, many thanks and many blessings.
And many blessings, George. George Campanelli. Campanelli, I'm sorry. George Campanelli.
Okay.
Age Nation, and don't go quietly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Goodbye.